Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
John Owen, you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. Third hour coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator. Let's head down south. Let's head to Mexico as we continue talking this weekend's UFC Fight Night with Ricky Tercios. Ricky, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Not too bad. It's been a while. Last time we talked, you were on the Ultimate Fighter. How have you been? It's been a couple years since then.
Yeah, I've been really, really solid. I'm living the dream, baby. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very grateful, thankful, and I'm glad that this weekend I get to do my favorite thing again. I get to go in there, step into the octagon, and do battle again. God willing, I'm going to leave with the win. Let's go.
Nice. Talk about, and I'm curious, you know, what is different when it's outside of the country? So I think this is the first time you fought outside. What do you need to bring? What do you need to do to go outside the country, whether it's really for vacation or even though this is a business trip?
Yeah, for this trip in particular, this being a UFC fight trip international, this is my first fight fighting outside the United States. I had to come out here to Mexico City to acclimate a month early, you know what I'm saying? So I made sure I got out here a month early. We're at like 7,000 feet. So for sure, I felt the difference from the first day I arrived to now being a month here in Mexico City. The training went fantastic. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling in great shape. I came here in really good shape. And then after all the training too, I'm used to that oxygen now over here. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I had to make sure I get here early to acclimate. And then as well, I packed good too. You know what I'm saying? I had a good time. Make sure I packed heavy with my bags, bought all my clothes, everything like that. Make sure I was well prepared. The food was different while I was out here too. You know what I'm saying? So I was cooking good, and I'm having a good time here in Mexico.
I don't know if you remember, speaking of food, and normally I try not to talk food fight week because it's weight cuts and all that stuff. You probably don't remember, but when you were on the Ultimate Fighter and we talked, we were going to do some food in Houston, and we just haven't connected. So we still have to go do that dinner that we talked about in Houston.
Yes, I do remember which one we talked about. Yeah, whenever we pull up, I already know where we're going to go. We're going to hit up either maybe a sushi buffet, you know what I'm saying? There's a couple good ones here in town, you know what I'm saying? So that sushi buffet is fantastic.
Well, and I remember that's what we talked about. And, you know, when I asked that, you know, about what do you need to bring, I recently went to Colombia for a concert. And I know this is going to sound silly and people give me crap on a regular basis. I went at the airport because you can't take it through. I bought 2 6-packs of Diet Coke just to take to Colombia for the 2.5 days that I would be there, because that's different. You know, Coke is different in different, well, I said Colombia, so let's say soda. Soda is different in Colombia, you know, than it is in the States. Or people forget you have to take, you know, your special adapter power cord so that you can charge in certain countries. So I think that's something that people take for granted that you guys can't, that you have to remember all those things.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, you know, you make sure you pack all your things that you need, you know what I'm saying? One of the things that was a little different when I was out here was the washer and dryer that I was using in the Airbnb. It was pretty funny. But nonetheless, man, that dryer, it was taking about 8 hours to dry all of my workout clothes. You know what I'm saying? But hey, we made it work. So it's all good.
Well, Randy, that cola tastes different because most countries have laws that don't allow that type of brewing, right?
No,
so you're bringing your sugar with you.
Give me your thoughts on Raul, on your opponent.
Yeah, I believe that Raul, he's a strong opponent, you know what I'm saying? Here in the UFC, the best have to fight the best, you know what I'm saying? So I've prepared myself thoroughly. I've prepared myself very, very, very hard in my training, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going into this fight. I'm very well prepared. I'm ready to go to the deep, dark waters. We're going to go to war, you know what I'm saying? But you already know, though, if my opponent gives me that opening, I'm looking for that knockout or submission, you know what I'm saying? But if he's tough, then frick it. We'll go to war for 3 rounds.
For sure. Does it matter, you know, when your management gets the call? You know, hey, this is who we have for Ricky. Does it matter who it is, whether, you know, and in this case, Raul has a lot of hype behind him, you know, has a lot of, you know, fans behind him as well as against him because he has all the support. Do you look at any of that stuff, or is he just another opponent that you need to do your business and take him out?
No matter what, yeah, my objective is always to step into the octagon and leave it all inside the octagon. put my whole heart in there to get the victory. You know what I'm saying? As far as this matchup goes, you know what I'm saying? The UFC, they called the right person for the job. They gave me the biggest opportunity. That's how the UFC does it. They're putting on big fights, and they made it with Raul Rosas Jr. He's the young warrior, you know what I'm saying, versus myself, the Ultimate Fighter champion, you know what I'm saying? And it's about to be a banger fight. Let's go.
What goes through your mind as you're walking to the cage? I mean, do you try to clear your mind? Are you thinking, you know, what you're about to do? And is it the same every fight?
As I'm going into the fight, I'm just focusing on, for sure, calming my emotions, controlling that fire inside my belly, you know what I'm saying? And remembering my training, telling myself I am ready for this. I've prepared myself for this, and I'm ready for this. And basically, too, just keeping it simple and sticking to what I have to do in strong defense and aggression. Just hit that offense, and protect myself at all times. Leave it all inside the octagon.
What's the craziest, funniest, strangest thing that's ever happened, you know, in a cage or in a boxing ring or any fight that you've been in? Has something stick out that was just insane that happened?
I mean, insane. I'll say a funny memory, I guess. In my last fight, I had a flashback. I was in a position that I was, like, in a cradle position, and I had a flashback all the way to high school in the middle of my UFC fight, you know what I mean? I had him in that cradle, and I thought to myself, oh, wow, this is just like in high school right here when I was wrestling when I was a kid. And I had this flashback in the middle of my fight, and I'm here fighting in the UFC. You know what I'm saying? I had a flashback moment in the middle of my fight.
That's very cool. You mentioned, obviously, that you won the Ultimate Fighter. That's when we had you on a couple times that season. What can you take? Do you still take something that you might have learned in that experience of being on the Ultimate Fighter and still use it to this day?
Yes, the Ultimate Fighter tournament has helped me immensely forever in my career. It's such a unique experience being locked up in that tournament. That's the only tournament that's really going to isolate you, take you out of public, and just lock you in this house for 6 weeks, training and fighting, and you're living with the people that you're going to fight against, you know what I'm saying? So the Ultimate Fighter tournament definitely made me a tougher individual. It made me a better martial artist, you know what I'm saying? And, like, literally a lot of the ways we were training in there, I still try to emulate all those things that I learned on the Ultimate Fighter tournament. I still emulate them still to this day. And then even, like, some other things I'll say too is, like, you know, I was isolated in that tournament. So, like, now whenever I'm going away to, like, Mexico City, away from my family, I'll tell myself still, it will never be as hard as that tournament, because in that tournament, I'm isolated away from my home old family, you know what I'm saying? But at least this time, even though I'm away in the training camp, I at least got a cell phone. I can still talk to my people, you know what I'm saying? So that's pretty cool.
Very much. And, you know, I did something similar when I was in the middle of the ocean in the United States Navy for 6 months. The only difference is we didn't get to fight. So at least you guys got to fight to take care of some of that aggression. We couldn't do it in the middle of the ocean.
No, I hear you, baby. No, that's a good time. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, there's the experience. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Ricky, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some product from Bucked Up Energy Drink. It'll be there, sent out probably today or tomorrow. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the week. The reward comes on Saturday. And have a good time when you get back in the octagon.
I really appreciate it. Thank y'all. Have a good one.
You as well. Ricky Tercios, been on the show before, back when he was on The Ultimate Fighter, went on to win. Not that we had anything to do with it, but we'll take some credit.
Karma.
It's karma. Karma is a beautiful thing. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wade Boggs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Conveniently located in Pinellas Park, Cool Breeze AC is just one phone call away. Reach them at 727-954-3605. And their highly skilled and knowledgeable technicians will be at your service 24/7, ensuring your ultimate comfort all year round.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Ron Duguay from formerly New York Rangers, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back hanging out here at the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. So what did you say you wanted to either talk about, trading cards or aliens?
I was leaving it up to you because I'm a, you know, big believer, alien believer.
I believe in trading cards.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
The new 2024 Topps Chrome UFC set is dropping the 28th this month. There are rumors that there were QC problems and they were flirting with a delay. Now, if you have a big sports card shop and you delay your case release and then they run the credit cards on these guys' accounts, but then
you don't get the product.
It coincides with a different release and then the thing is caught up. You've paid, you've got nothing. It really starts to add up fast. So there's a lot more to it than just, we're just going to delay it a week. That doesn't really cut the mustard.
It's not as big a deal, I'm assuming, for consumers as it is for business owners. Well,
the consumers are the ones that come in and basically threaten my life because it's been delayed as if I had something to do with it.
It's your fault.
The new Topps Chrome, they're back. They're in action. 2009 to 2020, any UFC product you got in the card room was all Topps. Then Panini came in with a bag and got it for a couple years, but we went to like sticker autos and we had a lot of complaints about quality and it became kind of, Panini is the worst. In my humble opinion, when it comes to dealing with them from a shop perspective, GTS distributing, terrible. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. Panini, that's maybe more opinion based, but wow, is it difficult. I've got a Jamar Chase 2021 rookie patch auto 600 plus days in redemption. it's not something that it's not a tenable business model. We're going to hit you with this. You pay $800 for a box. You actually get the hit. And then 2.5 years later, you still don't have the card. It's right. not something that you can defend from a business standpoint. It's not possible.
Well, and what do you say to, and I'm one of these people in one of my storage units, you know, I have some of the old UFC Tops products that has those redemption cards that are now invalid.
Right. They had made a push at Tops to give you equal value through some other sort of card right. or pack or something like that. They try to make it right for you. But if you got 2009 product, you shouldn't worry about the redemption. You should worry about the thousands of dollars you could get for the box. I mean, that's, you have all those things. Those are really sought after now, because when it comes to collectibles, it's about rarity. 1991 Fleer baseball, well, there's a million plus of each individual card right. with no rarity. It has absolutely zero value.
And I have 14 cases of that crap.
Still sealed.
Yeah.
In the plastic, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's the problem. Yeah. You go back to that Boog Powell we talked about. You're not just walking around and finding 62 sealed product.
Right.
It basically doesn't exist. And if it does, you're walking into $50,000 if you find that.
What's the most collectible sport?
And baseball is probably still the most collectible sport, because baseball cards were kind of the first thing, and there's still collectors from the era when it was only baseball cards or nothing. We have a Korean War vet guy who used to come in. Shout out to Vince, our guy out in Homosassa. Korean War vet comes in with a new shoebox full of crazy vintage cards to get graded. Oh yeah, you like that one? Okay, let's grade that one. It's like, why not? No intention of selling it. The man's a collector. It's a big difference between somebody who's a flipper, can come in and buy a box of Topps Chrome, and they have the new 1954 Topps International Flair insert, or some kind of rare card numbered out of 25 orange. Now we're talking about real money. Talking about $250, $300.
How come I've never hit anything? Never.
In the older boxes, there were no hits. So that makes sense to me. If you were to buy a new box, that's where hits became a thing. Where you have, even in this one, on all the odds and possibilities on the back of this box, this is a light hobby box that says, artist selections on average, non-base cards included approximately one in every pack. So it doesn't mean you get one in every pack.
Right, because every pack I open doesn't have one. I could open one pack, I could open a box.
The hobby stuff has guaranteed, and if you don't get it, you are in your power to send in the UPC code and get commensurate value.
But how do you prove that?
If you start doing that every week, they're not going to honor it.
All right.
If you send in, hey, I opened this up with my son and we didn't get the hit, they're going to send you some kind of... At my shop for the breaks, I send UPC codes in. I used to, probably once every 3 months or so, I'd have an issue, the card was messed up, send it in. Panini, you will not hear anything back. Tough luck, good riddance. Within a couple weeks from Topps, you get a silver pack, you'll get some... It's a better system, better program all the way around.
All right. As a card shop owner, and we're going to go back in the day, what is your opinion on the very famous Billy Ripken cards? Now, we won't say the word because it's FCC radio.
I see. Well, the initial correction has the letters crossed off, but you can still read it.
Right.
It's completely ridiculous. And that's the one that's worth all the money, more than the one that just says, you know,
F-face.
In the knob of the back.
So they had a card with it saying F face. Then they had a card of it sort of scratched out.
Yes.
Then they had a card with it all blacked out.
There's also a version that's in between white and black scribble. That card's actually worth a lot of money. They couldn't get the correction right, and a couple of limited numbers, that's what makes, from that era, there's nothing.
Right.
But there's only a few of those. And it's a pretty funny card. I mean.
Oh, no. It's
funny.
So back in the day, I owned quite a few of them.
They're $100.
And still do. So I had a friend of mine who played for the Oakland A's, the Detroit Tigers. He's from Lakeland, Mike Heath. Pretty good dude. So he wanted one. He goes, I'll buy it from you. And I'm like, Mike, I can't sell you this card. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. So he goes, all right, how about if I give you my jersey? So I have an Oakland A's game jersey. I don't know how he wore this thing. A, he was a catcher. I mean, I don't think my three-year-old could wear this jersey. That's how small it is. Oh, it was snug. It's like an offensive lineman's, you know, jersey, because they purposely wear.
Oh, you don't want to get held, do you?
Well, that's why, yeah, they're skin tight. But I'm like, Mike, I can't do that. So he gave me something more valuable than the $100 in the Oakland A's game jersey.
In those days, though, it would not have been worth that much. Only recently has it come to light that that's one of the cards that actually displays some rarity from that era. You know, it just. Right. But it doesn't happen often. There's a similar one of Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson's rookie card.
I want one of them hitting the bird.
That's a tough now that they did. They
is are, it really?
There is a card of that.
There is a card. So for those of you that don't know, Randy Johnson, he's 19 feet, 12 inches tall.
Yeah.
And he didn't throw the ball. He handed it to the catcher.
Yeah.
So he throws a pitch, and just as he's throwing it, a bird flies across in front of him.
Disintegrates.
And he destroys the bird.
I mean, yeah, nothing left. Feathers. Yeah. Just a feather pile there at the end of that. His rookie card, there's a version where there is a Marlboro cigarettes ad behind him. And at the time, no bueno.
Right.
So, again, they try to fix it. They put some green cover thing on it. It's still the Marlboro ad, hazed
it. They
green.
Stick a cucumber in there.
And then there's the blacked out one where you wouldn't even know that that was a thing. But that card is worth hundreds of dollars because it's rarity in a sea of no rarity.
Is the Hannes Wagner, what is it, T204 or something like that?
T206.
Is that still the number one, the Golden Grail?
No. The Mickey Mantle SGC grade 9.5 sold for $12.6 million. Wow. It was probably more than a year ago now. But
I don't have that. But I have 412 Campy Campaneris cards.
Well, Campy Campaneris? Dollar a piece. Yeah. That's a lot of money, baby.
I'm going to need 10 billion of those.
That Honus Wagner is another example of rarity within rarity. Because even back in those days, he did not think that children should be smoking.
Right.
And he didn't want his name associated with smoking in any way. So they had to pull him. And as a result, there aren't any of those. So anybody with more money than sense that wants to complete a 206 set needs to cough up the millies for one of the... what, 9 Wagners or something like that? Even if you have a piece of that card, it's worth thousands of dollars.
Really?
Just the top half.
and how many of those do you have at your shop?
T205s. I have some T205 and T206 of Olympic contestants and boxers, but people that you wouldn't know the name. But the record is like 68 and 27. Like these records on these guys, you know, right. Just a young man
sure. With
a mere 80 fights under his belt.
All right, we've got like 3 minutes before the break, so I'll give you 2 minutes to talk about aliens.
Well, first, how about my Erica Brown curling card? What do you think that's worth?
Well, curling, coming on big.
I'm a big curling guy. I'm one of the best sweepers there are.
Pickleball cards and curling cards, man. It's coming on strong. You laugh.
No.
It's coming. It's like a real sport. It's a real sport.
Like aliens?
A friend of mine owns one of the celebrity pickleball tours.
It's a big deal.
Former Major League Baseball player, former World Series champion, Brad Penny, is one of the investors in that pickleball, and it's slowly blowing up.
The pickleball autographs, because the ownership groups, you got Mahomes in there, you got Brady in there, you got like Beyonce in there, you've got these crazy owners, the autographs from the set, the owners are the chase.
Right, are the chance. Yeah,
that
for sure.
Never happens.
And before we hit this break, I do want to say I was victorious in my pickleball game that I played in Las Vegas. the team was quite impressed at by stamina.
The skills.
My skills and my competitiveness.
I have video of it, and I'm shopping it to major networks.
I want 10%. All right, let's go hit up the bottom of the hour break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival is celebrating its 45th anniversary, and you won't want to miss a moment. Experience the all-new Mermaid Cove, House of Dragons Pub, and enjoy classic favorites like live armored combat jousting or tasty turkey legs. Now is the perfect time to get your discounted tickets. Visit select Circle K locations or find your magic today at BayAreaRenFest.com. Huzzah!
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at CountryDepotStore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patrick Waugh from the Colorado Avalanche, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Well, good card. Speaking of good card, that's this weekend.
Nice.
The UFC returns Mexico, UFC fight night. Let's welcome to the program. She fights this weekend, Sam Hughes. Sam, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Just the start, obviously, of fight week, Wednesday, things start to kick up. I'm curious, do you treat every fight week the same? Do you try to mix it up a little? How do you handle the next couple days?
So this fight camp was actually a little bit different. This fight week, I guess I should specify. I came in about 2 weeks early to acclimate to Mexico City because it's almost 8,000 feet above sea level. So I was worried about that, but, you know, it's actually funny. I feel better here than I did in Dallas, which is 500 feet above sea level. So, Mexico City is a beautiful city. The people are amazing. I'm really just focused and pushing my cardio as hard as possible. And I'm ready to go for Saturday.
Good stuff. And just so you know, I'll never ask about fight camp. I remember back in the day, Tim Sylvia said the most hated question was, how's fight camp going?
Terrible. Always terrible.
Well, no, I wanted somebody to always say, you know, and I'll obviously lie, you know, oh, my left knee or my right ankle. And then, you know, see how long it takes, you know, for the fighter to go, oh, let's go after the left knee or the right ankle.
Gosh, I know. Yeah, everybody's trying to hide all their injuries and nagging pains and everything else. But once you get in that cage, you don't feel a thing. Anything nagging, you don't feel anything. Until you walk down those steps and the fight's over, and then it feels like you got hit by a truck.
What's it like, you know, making that walk? You know, what's going through your mind? Do you hear your music? Do you block that out? Do you know that you're, you know, high-fiving fans? You know, kind of walk us through your walkout.
Yeah, I'm really focused. I'm visualizing the whole fight, walking down. I'm feeling the energy of the crowd and letting it motivate me and just kind of fuel me. The hardest part, honestly, of my youth was at the Apex because it was so quiet. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. So the whole fuel of the crowd and just the tension and the energy, it fuels you, and you just feel like unstoppable once you walk in that cage. So
That shows the difference between you and myself. You're a professional athlete. When I walked with, ironically, Matt Hughes in London,
oh, wow.
And I walked down the old ramp. It was way before your time, but they had the grating that you walked down. And I'm carrying his belt, and all I could think about is, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall.
That's so funny. I had one of my very first fights with Fortis. I had one of my coaches step on my shoes, and I almost lost it. And then I had to, still, in front of the camera, still try to situate my foot back in my shoe and then try to act like everything was cool and I was okay. But that makes me laugh. No, there's always, whenever the camera's in front of you, you're always like, oh, don't mess up. Don't look like an idiot.
Exactly. I believe this is your first professional fight outside the States. And I'm curious, and I asked Ricky the same thing. What did you have to do? What did you have to pack? Is there something that you had to take that either you didn't think would be in Mexico City or you knew wouldn't be there?
Man, I'm actually very, very fortunate. One of my training partners, Alex Rodriguez, he was born and raised in Mexico. And so he's been like the ultimate tour guide. He's been kind of telling me stuff before I left for Mexico, what to pack, what to be prepared for. But it seems like every fight that I go to, it doesn't matter where it's at, I either extremely overpack or underpack. There's no in between. So I think I overpacked for this fight, which is fine. So I'd rather, have it, not need it, than not have it, look for it and stress out this week. So I've been pretty fortunate to have, somebody in my corner that kind of knows the ins and outs of Mexico and tells me, where the best places to eat are, where the best places to relax and everything else. So I've been very, very fortunate.
Definitely nice to have that, in your back pocket. How do you, treat this as a business trip? But you said, you've gone out, you're relaxing, you've gone out to eat. I always say to the fighters, enjoy, but you can't enjoy too much. It's a work week. It's not vacation.
Exactly. And that's exactly how we treat it this week. You can't get better, the last 7 days of camp. So everything is really just focused on being stress-free, relaxed, and enjoying your time, but obviously not enjoying it too much. You're here for a reason, but you want to feel confident. You want to feel relaxed. You want to feel recovered to a certain extent. So, one of the big things that we did here is he took me to this place. It's called Te Mezcal, and it's like this little sauna, but it's made out of clay, and it's almost like a meditation, and it's all sauna. You have a guided, almost like a shaman who's leading you through with, herbs and singing cultural songs and stuff. And so that's a big part of what we do this week is just relax and focus on the recovery portion of the fight camp and just making sure your mind is sharp.
As you continue to go through the next couple days, I always like asking this, are you one of the fighters that you want to try to block out what's coming up on Saturday, or are you not necessarily focusing on, but kind of focusing on why you're there and that's the fight in 3 days?
No, I'm very much focused on that. I think about it every day. I visualize, what I'm going to do in the fight, what my game plan is. So it's almost, every waking minute you're just thinking about it, but not overthinking where you stress yourself out, but just, working through and making sure that everything is just just solid and stirred up tight.
Again, fighting outside the country, are you like me? I want to go somewhere, and I've been booed numerous times in the States and outside, to be honest.
Yes.
Do you enjoy that? I mean, does that help you, or do you want to always be, get the crowd and loved and the applause and all that?
I'll tell you what, every fight that I've had in the UFC, and I think this is now my eighth fight, I have been the underdog, and I thrive in that environment. So bring on the booze, bring on the hatred. It's like that is what fuels me. So I love it, you know.
When I have athletes on, I try to ask questions, and it's not about me, but it's another one I want to tell you since we just talked about it. I also held the belt when Tyrone Booz, an American who recently passed away, was the WBO cruiserweight champ. And I'm holding this belt up that weighed probably 10,000 pounds during the longest national anthem of all time being booed. And if it wasn't that I was being booed, I might have dropped his belt. But being booed during the national anthem outside the States to me was an awesome win.
That is so cool. Man, I bet your arms are all shaky. You start sweating and everything.
It was. They were shaky, but because I was being booed, I'm like, I can't let this thing down. I'm going to show you, and I'm dying. Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
Man, I know she's a very good striker. She's fast. She's explosive. She's very athletic. We have a great game plan, and I'm just excited to showcase that on Saturday.
Craziest, funniest, strangest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight, whether it was to you or you doing?
Oh, wow. Let's see. What is the craziest thing? I've had my opponents talk to me before. I've had, in one of my fights, you guys know, like, I'm a cardio monster. I just push the pace and keep walking forward. But I remember specifically in one fight, she took a deep breath and kind of exhaled. And I knew that in that moment I had her. And so I looked for those key little nuances in my opponent and to see when I can, capitalize on that and go and when to push the gas pedal. So I'll be looking for that on Saturday night.
Nice.
How much do you and or your team like watch videos and kind of, research who you're fighting, or does that really not even matter? It's what you're going to do on Saturday.
Oh no, it's a big portion of my camp. I'm watching during camp. We're still watching film this week, but a big portion of the breakdown happens during the camp and, finding training partners that can look like her and fight like her. So, we break down everything, and I've got, just an amazing coach, Bird, who helped me with that breakdown of video. And
Sam, are you still there?
Everything else.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, it's the long cord. It's the long cord from the United States to Mexico City. Can you explain to me why so many fighters fight week, cutting weight, getting ready to weigh in on Friday, watch the Food Network on Thursday?
Oh my.
Man, I am one of those fighters. I think we are just gluttons for punishment and masochistic. That's the only thing I watch fight week. Besides some film and things like that, it's just, I think we'd love to feel that just pain. We thrive in wanting and sacrificing. And so, and it's so funny because we're like, man, I can't wait to have that. I can't wait to have that. And then once the fight's over, we're like, yeah, I'm actually good. I don't actually want any of that stuff.
Exactly. We broadcasted from Vegas in the Super Bowl, 2 weeks ago now, and we had one of the top chefs on, Brian Fantaggio, and I told him that all these fighters, and he couldn't believe it. He's like, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard. And I said, it's all true. Fighters watch the Food Network.
Every fighter I know watches the Food Network.
Crazy stuff. In closing, Sam, what can the fans expect to see when you get back in and do your thing in the octagon on Saturday?
Man, expect a show. Expect me to look like somebody that I've never looked like before. I'm going to be fast. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to look like somebody brand new, and I'm going to put everybody on notice.
Nice.
Awesome. We can't wait. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the week. Enjoy your reward on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some product from Bucked Up Energy Drink. And thank you for your time, and enjoy Saturday.
Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you very much. Sam Hughes back in the octagon, UFC Fight Night, Mexico City. And I like how both athletes, and I'm sure most of the athletes, have gotten there early, you know, because of the atmospheric conditions that they will be under on Saturday. All right, let's go hit our final break of the afternoon, coming to you live from the makeshift equipment here at the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ozzie Smith, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Todd Yoder, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Jacksonville Jaguar, and you're going to like this one, Washington Redskin.
Well, he made his veteran, he got in under the wire, didn't he? Did a year plus. That's I remember we were talking to him at the, he was trying to make the team when we covered him. He was trying to make it because it would have cleared him. As long as he made the roster that year, he was going to make the vet.
He definitely exceeded that.
Oh, he went way past.
Yeah.
Right?
So after Tampa, he went to Jacksonville. And then he finished up, I believe, with Washington. And it's pretty cool, as I have a game-used Washington Redskin jersey in my studio.
Trying to bring it back, man. They're trying to bring it back.
Well, I think they're going to change it. I don't know if they're going to bring Redskins back because, God forbid.
I thought that was in the cards.
I didn't think so.
Because there's Native American groups that are petitioning to have it brought back.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is ridiculous. There's one of them, I don't know which, Aunt Jemima maybe, or one of those. I mean, she's a, I hate the word, hero, you know, and they honored her by hero? Using her. Yeah, she was a hero. Yeah, you know. She was, you know. I'm not calling her the hero.
I was going to say, you have a high bar for such things, and all of a sudden Aunt Jemima's on the list, and I'm curious.
But you don't know what everything Aunt Jemima did back in the day.
Well, I know they took her off the damn bottle and put the Pepper Mills Freak Show. Yeah.
You know, that's like the butter canister, too. There was a butter one. I forget what it's called.
Land O'Lakes. Well, it's like, yeah, you erase the Indians and the blacks, and you're all good. That's what they're trying to do. Makes,
yeah. So, luckily, the show's almost over, so I can't get in too much trouble.
Well, it's a ridiculous statement, right?
It's a ridiculous world.
Yeah,
it is. You know, and as a veteran, I want to tell you that I did a bucket list. You know, I've done so many cool things. Traveled the world, almost got murdered in Colombia, and Steve wants to go down and to attempt it again.
I got kidnapped in Ecuador and held for ransom.
Did you really?
Like, for real.
Well, we thought that was going to happen to us, and I was going to – see, we went down to a rock concert, and if anybody hasn't seen our producer, Steve, he travels in the rock and roll world. He looks like a rock and roller, so I felt safe because they were going to kidnap him. They would have thought he was in the band, and they were going to say, hey, go get
big money for this guy.
So it wasn't going to happen, but I did a bucket list late last year and covered the Navy-Army game.
Nice.
And that's the way I call it. And
we didn't do so hot, but it was all right.
You need to go to it.
Yeah.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
That sounds cool, man. I would love to go. That sounds like quite the spectacle.
Add to it that we were credentialed, so we're on the field.
Nice.
It took an hour for the Navy and then the Army, or vice versa. I don't know what order they did it. You know, half of the, you know, the academy marches on the field. Sure. The other academy tries to get them to break and to laugh and to fall and to do all sorts of stuff. At the end of the game, an Army guy runs over to the Navy section and pulls up a shirt, and the T-shirt said, "Who's laughing now?" Then they almost had some fisticuffs, you know, at the 50-yard line. And I tell this story, and I don't tell it well, to put that whole entire thing in perspective. This guy walked by. The guy was distinguished looking, okay? And then followed by, like, a bookworm. Okay, with a headset and a walkie-talkie, and, you know, he's marching in unison. The third person had two flamethrowers, two jets. He was holding a helicopter. And then I found out that that was the Secretary of Defense that's just walking around the field. Then this lady comes up, four-star, five-star, I don't remember what she was, and Steve starts freaking out. He's not military, right? I'm like, what's wrong with you? He goes, I see her every Sunday on Face the Nation or the Meet the Press or, you know, the helicopters, the this, the that. And then to put everything in perspective, and I'm telling you the story I've told other people, we're flying home Sunday morning, and you'll know right away where Steve didn't, because he's not military and not a veteran. The captain, you know, they walk on, the last two people that walk on the plane are two uniformed military carrying a flag, which I caught right away. As we land, the pilot says, if everyone would still stay in their seats, which nobody does, right? You know, as soon as that ding, ding, you jump up, you know.
Well, unless there's a flag.
Right. Well, and that's what they said, that the two military. Well, flag walked off with these two military people because there was a body under the plane.
Yeah.
So it puts all the crap that we just talked about, that my cousin told me don't ever talk to him again. And on and on and on and on. And I had many people tell me not to talk to him again. So I was used to it, you know, when Dave did that. But just the world that we live in is ridiculous. You get cut off in traffic and you want to, you know, get out of the car and fight. And yet, you know, here these young kids, and young kids to us now, are playing in a meaningless, even though it was very meaningful, a meaningless football game. And then they go serve their country, you know, as soon as that game's over.
That's right.
Or many of them did. And we had the honor. One of those players graduated from Northeast High School and played this year and came and sat here and did the show. And Xavier. What's funny is I'm looking for him after the game. And we're filming everything on the field. And now there's the fisticuffs at the 50-yard line. So I'm still looking for Xavier, right? But I've got the camera going. And then I'm like, I can't find this guy. So I start to walk towards, like, their locker room, knowing that I can't get in there. And as I'm walking by, this guy's walking right next to me, right? And I see, I lean back, and I looked at his number, starts with a 3. Well, his number, I think, was 31. I don't remember for sure. And I look back, and I'm like, holy cannoli crap, that's him. And so, you know, we talk, fellow Viking, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, as a veteran, you should go to this game.
I'm going to go one of these days. But as a Viking, you didn't know about old Jeff D'Amico? I sent you the rookie card and everything.
Yeah, no.
Jeff D'Amico. He's probably the longest tenured Viking. I mean, as far as having a professional baseball career out of Northeast.
Really?
He played 9 years.
9 years, huh? I'm curious. I could be wrong. I'm wrong on a regular basis.
9 years at Northeast?
No. He didn't go to Northeast for 9 years. He played...
I want to say Indians, Rockies.
All right. This is who I'm going to say.
Who has a longer career?
I don't know. Damn, he's 70 years old. Holy cannoli, we're old. I'm looking up.
Radio.
I'm looking up former Northeast Viking, former relief pitcher of the year for the Cincinnati Reds. That would be Tom Hume. Tom Hume played for 10 years.
Oh, 10. He's got him beat.
He got him beat
by a year.
And I didn't know that he went to Philadelphia. So he played for the Reds from 77 to 85, played for the Phillies from 86 to 87, and then went back to Cincinnati at 87.
D'Amico would have had 10 years, though, but he missed a year from injury. So doesn't count.
Sure it counts. Did he get paid?
Oh, yeah. I guess they do get paid.
Yeah, they get paid if they're on IR.
So I think he may have had a 10-year career. I called it 9 because he missed that year in between. So between the two of them, they got... You know, a couple of innings.
Yeah, a couple of innings.
The stories that these guys tell is just off the cuff, you know, incredible stories that you can't repeat on that.
I know we only have a few minutes left. I did a celebrity softball game against Michael Bolton. And Bolton had the best softball team money can buy. He would pay it, you know, he paid his players. He wanted to win. We had Bruce Mead, and I said, I need Bruce Mead on our team. Bruce played for Bolton, and he's like, my whole team's Bruce Mead. You can take
Go ahead.
He hit the Bayfront Center at Al Lang Stadium in St. Pete. A monster.
I saw Cecil Fielder do that in a spring training game, Tigers versus Cardinals.
It would have to be the Cardinals or the Cardinals. Orioles. Yeah.
Oh, my. It was a rocket.
So back to the game real quick before I forget. So I put Tom at shortstop, and people are giving me a hard time. They're like, he's a pitcher. He didn't play shortstop.
He's better than anybody you got.
And that's what I said. I said, everybody who pitches in Major League Baseball played shortstop in high school when they didn't pitch.
Of course.
I mean, my brother even played the infield when he didn't pitch, and he couldn't play the infield.
Maybe the occasional center fielder.
Right.
Maybe.
Because you had a cannon. All right, final few minutes. You can talk aliens. You can talk about products that are coming out.
There are a couple things. The 2024 Topps Chrome UFC set is special in that it's the bring back year. So whenever that happens in the hobby, this being the last, and then
the last is always the worst, and then the first is always because they're trying to make a statement.
Kobe's Topps Chrome from the final year that Topps had it in like 98 or whatever that is, 99, that card's worth money because that's the last year Topps had it.
Right.
So
makes sense.
Then the turn happens, and now we've got Panini is, I guess, going to give up all of them eventually. So the first time that basketball comes back to Topps, that set's going to be ridiculous.
Right.
When football comes back to Topps and there's a Topps Chrome football release, you might have end of days scenario in the hobby world because people are going to lose their mind.
What's the number one NFL card? Is it Mahomes? Is something bigger than that?
Current player?
Yeah.
Current player, it's Mahomes, and it's not even close. And then you've got your Allen, Burrow, Herbert kind of tier, right? Mahomes last year after the Super Bowl, his 10 base card rookie was like $1,200.
Wow.
Are you kidding
me? That's crazy.
There's so many of those. It's a base card from like whatever. You get yourself a nice autographed Patrick Mahomes from when he was drafted and didn't even play, and you can get him for nothing. The thing's worth about, I don't know, $150K. It's real money in that kind of card. But again, if you go into a store and buy a box for $75 and say, okay, I'm going to get my 75, maybe 100 bucks back immediately. That is not how collecting works.
Right, right.
At all. But the generation of it has to be right now, everything up there. No, man. Even Shohei and Acuna's cards from 2018, they're worth hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars. Now, it's only been 5 years, six years. I mean, relax. But the expectation now that's incorrect, I'm going to go buy this $500 hobby box, and there's $500 worth of cards in there immediately.
Right, right. No. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's
because
never been the case.
I'll tell you, I'll go buy a $500 box of cards, and I have 14 32-cent cards in there.
Well,
I've never opened anything with anything good in it.
Let somebody else open it. This is what I do. I sell wax.
Yeah.
You let somebody else open the box. The joys of opening a box and finding these cards, it's awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
Sure.
But I'm staring at these boxes all day. If I followed every whim and opened every box, I'd be out of business, right?
No, for sure.
So there's a discipline that comes into it that not opening these packs.
We've got about 2 minutes left. Final question for you from one of my storage units that I'm sure Steve's going to try to buy. What about the old, what are the rack packs? You know, and you would see the first card and the
what
back
year?
Card. I don't know. You know, Bo Jackson's rookie.
There are some years where that's okay. Other years where...
Because the cards are crap.
Because the cards are crap.
Right.
And if there's no rookie in the set, there's no rookie in the set.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast.
30 seconds left. How do people reach you? Are you on social media? Where are you located?
We are expanding the shop in St. Petersburg, Florida, 406 11th Avenue North in St. Pete. It's the old Betty Ann Hotel. Rhino Cards, the original, has moved into the top space there starting March 1st. And we are going to hopefully talk Randy into moving his studio in there, but that's for a different day.
All right. Appreciate your time, Rye. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Everything will be up on social media. I'm going to figure out how to acquire the correct cord for next week that I left in Vegas. And we'll see you all next week. And unfortunately, that guy may be back in the seat. Who knows? Four, Eight Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, Bio Accelerator, and Cool Breeze AC. This is and has been Knockout Radio. See everybody next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.